With Laura Fox.
Podcast. At this time of year, as we rush in and about trying to sort out all of our family and social plans for Christmas, it can be easy to forget that so many others have far bigger problems to deal with. The latest figures show that almost 15,000 people and well over 6,500 children are officially homeless or living in an emergency accommodation. It's an all-time high, and two people know exactly how that feels. And joining me now, we've got James Flanagan, who was in with us a couple of months back, and Kelly O'Danza, and they are both here as LEAP ambassadors for Focus Ireland. You're both very welcome to the show. How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm great. It's really great to have you in. James, I'm going to chat to you first, because when you were in with us the last time, you were encouraging homeless people to register to vote. How are you keeping since then?
So at the moment, we've been, actually me and Kelly have been travelling. We went to Milan and then Brussels to talk to the EPOC. And basically what that is meeting other ambassadors from around the EU and understanding their situation, the homelessness, and how Europe can take a stand on homelessness. Mm. And since then, I've been just doing other things, like talking on other radios or doing other interviews. So,
yeah, that's really important work.
Yeah.
And it's obviously very interesting as well for the both of you to be a part of and to really feel like you can make a difference for somebody else because you've lived through it.
Yeah.
James, you experienced homelessness at a very young age, which we did talk about before in depth. But what do you remember about this time of the year from your situation?
Yeah, so when it came to Christmas, it was good and bad, basically. Mm. So like most people that are either on the labour, my mother was on disability, so she'd obviously get the bonus.
Yeah.
But when she got the bonus, she didn't really spend it on herself. She kind of focused on me, which was really hard to see because she was struggling just to give me a nice Christmas. And it was just really tough, because when you're looking at everyone getting gifts and the whole family's getting gifts, it was just me getting gifts, and then either my mother was left out or my father was left out, mm, or anyone that was around that time. And it was just really hard to see that, especially when you're looking at everyone else. So
it's really hard to think that you as a child, you were even thinking of anybody else but yourself. And you know, like, there's thousands of children around the country right now that aren't thinking about that. They're not thinking about what their parents are going, mm, through. But you were so hyper aware, obviously, because your living arrangements were completely different. And I know that you've got a video with Focus Ireland at the minute, and in it you even spoke about going into the shop and thinking, I can't afford that chocolate bar or that fizzy water, or that's going to completely upset my household for the week.
Yeah. And especially you think about that during Christmas as, yeah, well, because then, like, say a new game comes out or something, you're thinking, oh, should I get it, or is it going to hurt me mother to get, because she's going to go without either food or her own pleasures. Like,
yeah.
And it's just tough and it's unfair, especially when I was looking at it, it was very unfair, because it's me mother. It's very hard to just let her take control and then let her do everything, but she's... It's all the backlash on her. She has the weight on her shoulders. So
let's talk about everything you're doing now, though, because you are in the middle of an apprenticeship for an electrician. Or how far along are you on that?
So at the moment, I was doing a college degree, kind of college. It was a year college. But at the moment, I'm in with CISC at, yeah, the moment. And we're trying to get into either an apprenticeship or a full-time job. I'm trying to build my career and expand it to understand the possibilities that you can have, and also share them experience. Right now I'm going to my old skills and asking the young fellas there, or asking them what do they want to be, and what, yeah, even though I'm trying to build my own career, I'm understanding how I can build their careers too, yeah, because I always give thanks to the people that built me of who I am, especially my skills. So
lots of people who are homeless are not the people you might see on the streets. How does this stop people from understanding the size of the problem that we have here?
To understand it really is to, there's a lot of forms of homelessness. Like, it's not always just rough sleeping. It could be couch surfing. It could be staying with family members. It could be sleeping in out of cars, like from yourself. And it's very hard to identify it, because they're not going to say it. Like, no one's, yeah, going to go up to you and go, oh, I'm sleeping in my mate's house, or I'm sleeping in a family's house. So the best way to understand it is if you're seeing people like that and you can clearly see they're struggling and clearly see that's not their household, but they're still living in it, talk to them and understand how you can give them a foundation to have a house and to be able to build their career. Because once you have a career, you can then build your foundation for your house. So.
Yeah, and that's exactly what you're doing right now as well.
Literally.
Kelly, you are very welcome along to the show. We are so happy to have you here, and I'm delighted that you came in with James today. You were in homelessness, but you were also able to get yourself trained as a beautician, and you're also a dog groomer, which I think is so exciting. How did you manage that, and how did that work help you?
The only way I managed it was through my focus workers back down in Waterford. Mm-hmm. So when I turned 18, I didn't have a clue kind of what I wanted to do, because obviously I was a former foster child, and my life was mostly being in care.
Yeah.
So I didn't know kind of what to do myself or how to kind of do things myself. So I did end up doing dog grooming for about 2 years, and I qualified from that. And then during COVID, I decided to start doing beautician.
Yeah.
So I'm only after finishing my qualifications for beautician at the moment. So I'm still kind of going between the two, like dog grooming and beautician.
I mean, there's joy in both.
Yeah, there is.
There really is. You said there about, you know, you turned 18, you didn't have a clue what to do. Like, no 18-year-old should have a clue what to do, but your circumstances were completely different. You know, it was all on you, and you did have to figure it out for yourself. The dog grooming, like, I watched your video as well, and you talked about just how the dogs bring you so much joy, and you did have them growing up, and that you could give them all your worries and they just go to sleep. Was that a really comforting part for you?
It is. Even now I have my own little dog at home.
What's his name?
Marley.
Gorgeous.
Marley. And he's literally my child.
Yeah.
He's my child out and out.
Oh no, you're talking to the right person here, Kelly. I will back you up any day of the week on this.
So having him, like, it makes my life so much brighter. Because every day I wake up and he's there next to me. I bring him out for walks. I even groom myself. And then I go to my family's house, up to my other dog up there, to my neighbours, to their dogs. So, like, I have, like, a group of dogs around me every single day of the week.
They give you such a purpose as well, though, don't they? Even when you don't want to go for a walk and you're like, oh God, you have to bring them out. And then you ultimately feel better at the end of it. With the beautician work as well, are you hoping to get into, like, makeup, or is it like facials, or what side of things you want to do?
Mix between a few. I did start off doing nails, but that wasn't for me now. I couldn't concentrate on the nails.
That's fair, there's a lot in it.
So at the moment I'm doing waxing and eyebrows and makeup.
Sorry, very important for every Irish girl. They need them all.
The normal important stuff, the waxing, eyebrows, makeup.
Yeah, the work's going on. Before you were in different foster homes for a number of years, how did it feel when you were looking back on all of that time with uncertainty?
It's hard to think, like, back to it, because obviously when I did go into care, I didn't know where I was going, who they were. Mm-hmm. They were strangers, complete strangers to me, and each foster home was the same, bar one. One of my foster homes, I was actually going to her for respite before I moved to her, so at least I had a bond with that foster family before I even got to them. But it was kind of hard, especially this time of the year. It was so difficult, because you're in a home where there's other kids and you get treated so much different to them other kids. Like, them other kids could get a lot more presents than you'll get. And it was hard that time, especially you don't have your family there and all the rest of your family is in care, so you're stuck in this home for Christmas.
And it's hard to essentially be watching another family, you know, have their Christmas, and no matter how much you think you're a part of it, it's not yours.
Yeah.
And that has to be so difficult. You even managed to finish school, and that must have been so tough, though, to keep friends when you're moving about. I know that we're talking about going into different foster families, but, like, having a friend group is so important for everybody. How was that for you?
It was hard now. I did finally settle down in one school when it came to second year. So I do still have that friend group from second year to now.
Okay, great.
Because I was stuck in the one place. But apart from that, like, even when I was in primary school, because I was moved and moved and moved, I couldn't really get a friend group.
Yeah.
Because it was so hard to have a friend group and then, like, a month later you're moving to a new school. So there was no chance of having any type of friends when I was younger. But when I got second year, I actually finally started to have a friend group, and I still have them friends.
Having that same friend group to now, like, that's amazing.
Yeah,
and it's so important, because they know you and they know everything that you've done inside and out. Foster care does save so many vulnerable people, but like we said at the very beginning, when you're 18, you're out on your own. Like, that has to have been the biggest shock in the world.
It was, because before I turned 18, I was actually in the residential unit. Mm-hmm. So I had over 20 staff a day, like, with me the whole time. When I turned 18, I had no staff, no help, no nothing. I was 18, you're out the door. So that was difficult. Now, I was lucky that I could move back home to my family home.
Yeah.
But the same point was, I wasn't living in that family home for 8 years. So I didn't know my cousins, my aunts, my uncles. I didn't even know my mother and father. So I had to get used to everything over again because I didn't have no bond with them.
Yeah.
And it's going back into a home that was a strange home to me.
And it would be, because 10 years old to 18 year old, I mean, everybody changes so much in those years. And, you know, as you said, like, there was 20 staff working alongside you in the residential home, and you definitely got on with them. And and then all of a sudden, I'd say they would gladly wrap you up in cotton wool and keep you for as long as they could, but they couldn't. Like, that's so incredibly difficult.
It was, like, it was really difficult. Even to now, like, I'd still meet a few of them staff in the town.
Yeah.
And I'd just say to them, I miss it. I actually missed the residential. I was so used to it. I lived there for about 3 years.
Yeah.
That was what I called my home. And
because it was your home.
Yeah. And even say to this day, like, even though I'm 25, like, I actually miss it. I want to go back to, like, the residential unit again, because that's where I felt the safest.
What would be your main message to listeners at this time of year?
Don't judge someone unless you actually know. Mm-hmm. Because there's that many people out there now that are homeless, that are in different situations of homeless, and they might not be able to go off and get their children loads for Christmas. They might be able to get them a few bits, but then you can see other people, like, they would judge them for that, that they can't go and make their children excited for Christmas. But to me, like, whatever you get is priceless.
James, how about you?
What I'd say, it is the season of giving. So what I'd say is go around, see someone sleeping rough, either buy them a coffee or something, have a chit-chat with them and understand that situation, because the more you know about homelessness, the better we can fix it, and the more people know about it, the better. So even if you're just strolling through town, going, doing Christmas shopping, remember that there's someone that can't, and you're walking by that person. So just sit with them, talk to them and understand their situation, and then spread the message.
I think that's really important. People fall into a trap of seeing someone who's sleeping rough and saying sorry, and instead of saying, like, hi, how are you, good morning, that can flip the narrative on someone's day. And if you are buying yourself a coffee, buy a second extra hot coffee, pass it back down, and a sandwich. It's going to be nothing out of, well, maybe it will be nothing out of what your day is, but it'll mean the world to somebody else. Kelly and James, thank you so much for coming in with us today. I really appreciate it. You can find out more about Focus Ireland's Christmas appeal at focusireland.ie. We'll be right back after these.
With Laura Fox. Podcast.